Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
The big story last night, even though you had the NBA playoff game where Boston got rid of Atlanta and moved on to the second round against Philly, great matchup. I think you picked Atlanta, right?
I did. I thought they would force a game seven.
Why didn't you come on here and announce that? Because that's not how you came on and announced that, well, you got something right the night before. Memphis? Was
that's
it Memphis?
What part don't you understand? Like, you're in this business. You're wrong. You're wrong. You don't come on and say, oh, I was wrong last night.
But I'll admit I'm wrong.
I've admitted that I'm wrong, too.
I was grudgingly.
Where'd he get the tape? You got the tape of me saying I was wrong.
It was probably about something else.
I was talking about my hair. My hair color.
I was wrong.
All right, Rob, but let's get to it. And the draft, look, it was, you know, the Bryce Young goes number one. No surprise there. C.J. Stroud, I guess a little slight surprise just because so many people, Rob, had been talking, you know, they're all of a sudden, as you see sometimes, right? The S2 test comes out and, oh, C.J. Stroud doesn't make quick decisions. So I guess if you believe that stuff, you might have been surprised that he went number two. But and then Anthony Richardson, number four, slight surprise. But again, we seemed like we knew he was going pretty high. But maybe the biggest surprise, Rob, was that a name we had been hearing about at quarterback. Some thought second, third best quarterback in the draft. Maybe some even liked him more than that. But Will Levis, out of Kentucky, played 4 years in the college. People love his build. He looks the part. Powerful cannon for an arm. Not yet drafted. Rob, still on the board. Not only did he not go in the top 10, top 5, like some people said, he's not even a first rounder. And Rob, it was sad. It always is. Whether it was way back when Aaron Rodgers slid or Geno Smith slid or, you know, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson didn't really slide, but they weren't drafted where you thought they should have been, you know, at least some people. It's hard when you got to watch a guy, and I know they all weren't there in person, but when you have to watch a guy sit there in the green room thinking this is going to be the best night of his life to date, and instead it becomes maybe the most embarrassing moment of his football life. And, you know, they're men. You got to man up. Hopefully Will Levis will use this and keep receipts and go on to have a great NFL career somewhere. But it's tough to watch, Rob. His mom's squirming. He's squirming. I guess those were his sisters. His girlfriend squirming. Like, it gets awkward and uncomfortable even to watch. So you can imagine how he feels sitting there.
Well, that's the risk you take. It's not automatic. I guess he was invited. But those things happen. Aaron Rodgers slid down to 20-something to the Packers. He was supposed to be a little higher than that. So it worked out for him. But Will Levis, it doesn't sound like from the stuff that, you know, people are saying, Chris, there's some quotes I have from anonymous offensive coordinators, quarterback coaches.
Well, let me read his quote first before you get to that, because I know where you're going to go. But quickly, he said this, and this is where, Rob, if you notice who was pubbing Will Levis, and you got quotes from NFL scouts, the people that were really so high on Will Levis were the Todd McShays and the Mel Kuypers and the guys who do a good job in, you know, promoting the draft and telling you about the picks and who might go here, who might go there. But they're not in the league. They're not the guys on the teams, right? And so those were the guys, if you really look at it, the biggest praise of Levis was coming from them.
Yeah, but
not coming from the league. And here's what he said. I brought that up because I think the league should probably talk to teams and not just listen to what they hear on TV when they invite to the green room. Because here's what Will Levis said, Rob. He told this 2 weeks ago to the Lexington Herald leader. If I know I'll be a pretty high pick, I'll definitely go to the draft. I'm looking forward to going, but I don't want to go if I could be like a second round pick. Don't want to have the camera just on you all day. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, but here's the issue that I have. You say, you know, his agent obviously should have been in touch with NFL teams, so that's number one. But to say that you bought into the chatter, pre-draft chatter by talking heads on television, that's silly. That the agent. Because if you haven't talked to any teams, Chris, there's no way you bring your client there to sit there. I just can't believe that Todd McShay.
I hope he talked to teams.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, I
can't
buy that.
He couldn't not talk to teams.
And here's the other thing.
I'm talking about the league, though. Like, when the league is the ones that invite you to the green room.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's fine. They can invite you to the green room because his name was out there. But if you're the agent, I need to talk to a couple teams for myself to say there's a legitimate chance that my guy's going to get drafted and he's not going to sit there and be embarrassed. The other thing is, here's the issue when you have guys, Chris, and I don't know the whole thing, but agents use reporters to push up the stock of their guys.
Oh, gosh, yes.
You know this, Chris, as a guy who breaks news. And these guys will feed you. Oh my God!
You really got to double check.
You can't just take agents. And Chris, a lot of these guys, and I'm just being honest, are in bed with the agents. Hey, put my guy out there. Talk right. You know, give me some.
Because
am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely right. Because Rob, when you see so and so broke a story about a player signing for a certain amount of money, a player getting traded. It's in most cases,
99%.
It is the agents. All right? And you know how you know? I mean, we knew you and I are in the business, so we knew.
Right.
But how you as an outsider can know? Look at Lamar Jackson. There was nothing coming
Zero.
Out about Lamar Jackson.
Zero.
Nothing.
Because there was nothing there to be
leaked. Because he had no agent.
Exactly, and his agent couldn't take care of his buddies who helped those guys, Chris, and they make a lot of money because they're all in bed together. It's very it's a lot of it is
– Well, we've seen many incidents lately where it shows that objectivity gets lost.
It gets lost.
Objective reporting gets lost.
And that's what I'm saying here. That's what this was, Chris, to me. is that if there's no NFL teams, and then when I read the quotes.
And Kiper and McShay now are not reporters.
Right.
Right? So there's that, but they are.
But they have connections.
There's some, yeah, but they more, I mean, as much as reporters, certainly. And I remember in the early days, NBA, when guys like this were starting to emerge, they're definitely getting a ton of information from the agents. And as you know, Robin, you said, the agents are pubbing their guys.
They are doing that.
The Commanders loved him.
Exactly.
You should have seen their Jason Campbell's face. They loved him. You know, not Jason
Campbell. Because then you put that out there, right? Oh, wow, yeah. Look. Hey, this guy's going. But let me give you a couple quotes, Chris. Anonymous AFC offensive coordinator. Quote, something's not there with him. Something's missing. Not to say that he won't be a good quarterback. I wanted to like him more than I did. He's had the measurables, can throw a mile, but he lacks touch and feel and ball placement. Here's another one, Chris, anonymous NFC offensive coordinator. Quote, eerily familiar Blaine Gabbert vibes.
Gabbert.
He's a big, strong, pretty dude that makes you excited, but the game doesn't make as much sense to him as other guys. And then the last one, an anonymous NFC quarterbacks coach, he said, quote, the longer I looked at the tape, the less I liked it. He's the only one of the top guys that I didn't see take over a game, end quote. There you go. So maybe if Todd McShay and Mel Kiper did some other homework or checking with some people, Chris, and not, I'm not just saying, because this shouldn't happen. If you really have done your due diligence, and sometimes, you know, somebody's there, but you got to make sure, because that doesn't sound like the NFL was interested in that cat in the first round. That's enough from anybody.
And now, did these quotes come out after yesterday or last night, I guess, as he was falling like a stone? They came out before. Okay. Well, Rob, you and I talked about it. I mean, and we didn't scour the tape. We just, let's keep it real. We weren't scouring Will Levis tape. But you know what? I saw him play here and there. You know what we did look at? And this doesn't take a great researcher to do. We looked at the numbers. And we talked about it the other day. I said he had 19 touchdowns and 10 picks at Kentucky.
Thank you.
I mean, and I get it. He's playing against better competition in the SEC, and he doesn't have, you know, the talent around him that a lot of the teams he's faced had. But still, that's a red flag. Like the scout said, Rob, at that level, generally you take over. Now, it's not a rule. Trey Lance played at, you know, didn't even play at the highest level. We'll see what he becomes. You know, Carson Wentz, and I know he became a bust, but, you know, he had his moment in the sun. You know, we've seen Rob, Tony Romo. Where is he from? Was it Eastern Kentucky? We've seen guys come from even Josh Allen, Wyoming. So it's not like everybody lit up college or played at the biggest programs, but you can't discount the fact that a guy wasn't head and shoulders above his peers in college, because a lot of these guys were, if they're going to be great at the next level.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to the NFL and get back to the draft to some degree. And we saw, it's not historic. It's not a big deal at this point anymore when a Black quarterback is drafted number one. We know for up until a few, 15 years or so ago, it was not only you didn't have Black quarterbacks drafted number one, you didn't really have many at all in the league. It was still very much against having Black quarterbacks. I don't care what they say. It was clearly against Black quarterbacks having playing that position. And you had the first three quarterbacks, Bryce Young, of course, C.J. Stroud, Young to Carolina, Stroud to Houston, and then number four, Anthony Richardson, to Indianapolis. And Rob, I did a little quick count. And Rob G, correct me if I'm wrong. I think 14 of the 32 starting quarterbacks this season, and I'm counting Richardson, even if he's not the starter, he's obviously the future, at least going to get a shot to be the future in Indianapolis. But 14 of the 32 are African Americans. I don't think I counted Tua, so that would be 15 of the 32 are of color. And you got a major statement you want to make.
Chris, don't fall out of your chair, okay? Be ready for this, because I'm serious. After watching the draft and seeing what's taking place in the NFL, Chris, the white quarterback is becoming extinct in the NFL. And I say that for a lot of reasons. Matter of fact, Will Levis last night, Chris, he should have wore a purple suit because he was Barney, the dinosaur. And that's what's happening. Like, we're watching this before our eyes, okay? The top three quarterbacks in the first round, black. We already know, Chris, when you talk about the pay scale on black quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, the highest paid as far as total money. And then the five highest paid quarterbacks in guaranteed annually. Money. Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, and Russell Wilson.
Right.
And then next year, the top quarterback prospect, Caleb Williams at USC.
Right.
And Chris, I'm dead serious when I talk about this. This reminds me, and you'll remember this, when Jimmy the Greek Schneider was fired from CBS.
Right.
Part of his conversation and rant about the black athlete,
which
and
people
Chris, he
don't
went back,
remember. They only remember him talking about blacks being bred
right
to be athletes during slavery, be bigger, stronger, to, you know, work in the fields and all that.
But you know, remember what he said? You know what I'm going to say, right?
Yeah,
you remember
yep,
what he said?
Yep.
He said, if black guys keep playing quarterback, there won't be any jobs for us. Am I right or wrong?
You're wrong. You're right and wrong. You're right in that on the field, they're thinning out, but that's why they not letting us up in the front office. And in the coaches' staff.
No, I know, but I'm just saying,
you know, but
that's
know
part
what
of what he
yes,
did say
exactly
about being a quarterback. Here's right. The other one, Chris. Are you ready? This is a vast wasteland of white quarterbacks taken in the first round in the last 10 drafts. Blake Bortles, out of the league. Johnny Manziel, out of the league. Carson Wentz, a journeyman. Paxton Lynch, Chris, out of the league. Jared Goff got traded. Mitch Trubisky, a bust. Baker Mayfield, a bust. Sam Darnold, a bust. Josh Rosen, out of the league. Zach Wilson, a bust. Mac Jones, benched last year. And to be determined is a couple guys, Daniel Jones and Kenny Pickett, okay? Now, have there been some hits? Yes, there have. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, and Justin Herbert. Okay, those are hits. I'm just saying and giving my thing. I'm not going to act like they don't exist. This isn't Moneyball, Chris, where they ignore the players on the A's and talk about, you know, Moneyball and how they used analytics to win and didn't mention the great players. But my point is, this is a stunning turn of events on where we are now in the NFL. And I know that, like you said, there have been black quarterbacks. They've won Super Bowls. This is not the novelty anymore, but the numbers are staggering. You know, three
are
of
you
the
really
top...
stunned?
Yeah, I am. I am surprised.
I'm not stunned.
I'm surprised that where the NFL's gone and how many of these other guys haven't panned out and have been bad. Like,
well,
I read this list, it's an incredible list.
Well, I'm not stunned because I've said this going. Almost not quite, maybe almost a decade back, not quite a decade. I've said that I would say, yeah, in about 10 years, half of the starting quarterbacks in the league will be black. Because of, number one, you began to see blacks get the opportunity and obviously shine at the quarterback position. And then when you look at the college landscape, So many of the leading quarterbacks were African Americans. And so it was like where the pipeline is becoming more and more black. So I could see this coming, and you want it to be a meritocracy where the best man wins the job, whether he's black, white, whatever. And so you're seeing that, and, you know, this is where it's at right now. Now, you said it, there some of the top, not just white quarterbacks surviving. Joe Burrow's probably the second best quarterback in the league behind Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen's probably third best. All right, Trevor Lawrence had a great year and probably will become a star. And Justin Herbert is there too. So it's not like there aren't some great white quarterbacks. And it's not like there haven't been some African-American busts too. You know, Keeley Smith, that was going way back. But Dante Culpepper, who had a nice little cup of coffee, right? It was a nice, sweet cup of coffee for a few years. But then Jamarcus Russell, you know, Dwayne Haskins, rest in peace. I mean, obviously that ended very tragically, but he wasn't panning out as a player. Cardale Jones, we talked about him, Ohio State. So it's not just white quarterbacks who are being taken high and being bust. There are some African-Americans too. But that's part of progress, Rob, in this country when we've looked at things racially. It is African-Americans getting a chance to fail. It's not like, oh, only the super Negroes, the ones who are head and shoulders above everybody else, get to play or get to play that position or coach or whatever. It's just average ones or bad ones by that standard that fail. That's when you know you've reached fairness, when black, white, or Hispanic, whatever color, you get a chance and you succeed or you fail. But you know what's interesting too with this, Rob, is that even as you do obviously see African-Americans, you know, playing quarterback and playing it well, I don't think you mean extinct, like there's not going to be any white quarterbacks, but obviously the numbers are changing. But some other positions, tight end has become a white position for the most part. I have no idea why. Because you think about back in the day, you had Ozzie Newsome and Kellen Winslow.
One of the all-time great tight ends.
Oh, yeah. You had some awesome African-American. Shannon Sharp, our colleague. And now it has become a largely white position where the best tight ends, and most of them, best or not, are white. And you're also seeing, I know it's just one, Christian McCaffrey has become, you know, he's one of the best running backs in the league. He'd have an argument for the best if he could stay healthy. Cooper Kupp, you know, after what, 2 years ago, some people thought he was the best receiver in the league. He's white. So I think what this is going to, it's just like you see in basketball, it's forcing, you know, white quarterbacks are going to have to be more mobile, a la Josh Allen. Daniel Jones, now he's not great, but he's mobile. And he, you know, we'll see what he becomes under Brian Daboll. But, you know, I think it's going to force them to have to be mobile and be better and step up.
But see, here's the thing. And I think what happens is, you know this, all these leagues are copycat leagues. And you would think in what the NFL's turned into, which is a passing league, and that was always the thing when they were passing up the Charlie Wards and all the black quarterbacks who are doing what they're doing now, Chris, who could also run and throw.
Right.
And you know, like, they passed those guys up. They wouldn't even draft a Charlie Ward. Go look. He won the Heisman. Played major college football.
Yeah. Tony Dungy has told us he could have been Peyton Manning.
Exactly.
I don't necessarily believe that, but that's what Tony Dungy
said. But that's his call, right.
The game.
And the thing is, Chris, he wasn't even drafted.
Right.
And now we're in a draft where the top three out of four players drafted are black quarterbacks. Like, this is where we are in the NFL. And that's why I'm saying, you would think they would be looking for your more traditional quarterback. It's a passing league. You just want a guy.
Well, you got to be mobile.
But it's changed because of defenses and what they can do, right? And you have to be able to move around. That's why I'm saying, like, this was so – And then we saw it in the Super Bowl, of course. First time two black quarterbacks ever faced off against each other. There are all these signs moving one way to me. And that's why I'm saying, after last night, I'm starting
to
say...
So last night was your eye-opener?
Yeah, just...
I didn't think last night was a big deal.
No, last night, and then, you know, coupled with the Super Bowl, and then coupled with these contracts and the guys who are being paid now in the NFL. And we know it's all a timing thing, and Joe Burrow's going to get paid soon, and those guys as well.
They're going to become the top two.
You know what I mean? They're going to get paid too. But I'm just looking at this as you go forward and see, because Caleb Williams,
yeah, USC.
It's probably going to be the first pick next year, Chris. So here comes another guy. I don't know who else is on the horizon, but I just wonder, are white quarterbacks becoming extinct? I think they are. I think that they're going to look
at... extinct's too strong. Because you know it's not like Joe Burrow and Josh Allen and Justin Herbert are old.
No, becoming as we go forward, because you gave the numbers on how many you thought, you said 10 years ago, you thought half of the quarterbacks were going to be black. And you're almost there.
Yeah.
And I don't know, 10 years from now, will it be two-thirds, Chris? Like, as time goes on. So I don't know. And you talk about the college football. Black guys have always played college football, Chris. They just never got drafted in the NFL. There have always been black quarterbacks, even at all-white schools.
And they're also throwing it more, though. Because back in the day, not that there weren't guys that could throw, like you mentioned Charlie Ward and some others. Warren Moon, he didn't get the shot right away. But a lot were running quarterbacks. Now you're getting either a mix, guys that run and pass, or some that are just straight-up passers. C.J. Stroud was a straight-up passer.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They are not going to go away quietly. Let's put it that way. Unlike the Milwaukee Bucks, who went away very quietly in five games to not only an eighth seed, but an eighth seed that lost the play-in game, the first play-in game. So
it was bad. And they had Hero was missing, wasn't it?
Best three-point shooter, a 20-point score is out. So you're right. It was just Miami has, I believe, seven undrafted players. They have four of them in their rotation. Kevin Love is starting for them. I mean, that's how – and I'm not – Kevin Love was at one time a great player. At one time. All right, he's old now, and his better days are behind him. He's playing well, though, for him. And that's who the Milwaukee Bucks lost to. Two double-digit leads entering the fourth quarter the last two games. It was bad. And, Rob, Giannis, I've said for the past few years, I think you have too, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that he's the best player in the world. And that now, a friend of mine texted me, shout out to my man Adam Coleman, texted me, and he said, and I think he's right. He put it very nicely. He said, Giannis went from being definitively the best player in the world to arguably the best player in the world. You don't want to overreact to just one series, but I think that is a fair statement. I think most people were giving him that title, and now I think it's up for debate, more debate than it ever has been the last few years, Rob. And now, you know, some of these guys still alive in the playoffs are going to fight for their part in that debate. What do you, were you with me these past few years saying Giannis is the best player in the world?
I mean, with all the stuff that he was able to do, the improvements, winning a championship, staying in Milwaukee when everybody was chastising him, saying he was making a mistake, he'd never win. And we talked about the improvement.
One without a super team, yep.
Right, and then he took a step back, Chris, with the 13 missed free throws.
Well, you remember the big, huge game in the finals. I can't remember. Is that the 50-point game or whatever?
No, that was the game.
He hit his free throw.
Right.
He was 17 and 19 or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
And the one bugaboo, Chris, was what he turned around in that. And that's when people were impressed with it wasn't just him playing well, but the one thing that had spooked him was the free throws, and he made all those free throws in that to close out the Phoenix Suns. That was very impressive.
Yeah. We knew he never was still a great three-point or free-throw shooter. This year he shot 64%, but if he had shot 64% in that game against Miami when he went 10 for 23, they would still be playing.
Exactly. That was a terrible step back.
But he always had, even as me and you and many others were saying he's the best player in the world, his deficiencies were there. And it was obviously the foul shooting, but I think an even bigger one was that he really doesn't have a go-to shot. He's not a good shooter. Even just mid-range jumpers, he's not a very good shooter. He has to pretty much get to the hole or at least get to the paint to score. And the reason that I was able to overlook that deficiency and say he's the best player in the world was because, Rob, it seemed like nobody could exploit it, right? I mean, it wasn't being a deficiency because nobody was forcing him to shoot jump shots. Nobody other than Miami in the bubble the year they beat him when they walled off the paint and he couldn't get to the basket. That's when he looked bad. But after that, he was able to get wherever he wanted in those finals. He's able to get to the bucket. And ever since then, he was able to get to the bucket. And so his deficiencies not being a good jump shooter and foul shooter, it wasn't an issue. And in this series, it was an issue, Rob. And it's hard. This is why it's hard to definitively say he's the best player in the world, Rob, because at the end of the game, when I need a bucket, I couldn't go to him. I couldn't, and not just because he might miss the free throw. It was because he can't shoot.
That's a part of it too, though, Chris. You know that?
Right,
that
but Shaq
too.
Was like that, but I could go to Shaq, and if they don't foul him, he's going to put somebody in the basket with a dunk. Or he's going to make a little jump hook down on the block. I can't count on Giannis to do that. I probably could if he'd get on the block more, but that's not what he does. He's on the perimeter, and he's a perimeter guy that can't shoot. Embiid, I can give Embiid the ball, and I can feel good about he's going to go make a play, like he's going to make a mid-range jumper. Or he's going to make a pass.
He can score from
anywhere.
Right.
Jokic can score from anywhere. Steph, obviously, you can give it to and feel good. Like, Durant. It's open, right? And I got to be honest, because we're going to get into who you think is, if you think somebody's the best player in the world, and who I think, if it's not Giannis. Honestly speaking, I'm not just going to say a name to make a hot take, a name to make good radio. Honestly speaking, Rob, I think we are in one of those stretches where it really isn't clear who's the best player. And that's not a cop-out because outside of Jordan and LeBron, you know, the last decade or however long you want to give it to him, the best player in the world hasn't generally been definitive.
It's coming on because at one point, not too many years ago, I think Kevin Durant was that guy. You can't say that anymore, Chris.
No, I don't think he was ever the best player in the world, as great as he is. That's an argument. That's fine. Right. I'm not here to debate that. But I think, like, in the late 70s, Dr. J just came into the league in 76. I think there was an argument for Dr. J as the best player in the world. Kareem, a lot of people looking back will say, well, Kareem was the best. Yeah, but Kareem, last year in Milwaukee, didn't make the playoffs. I think maybe his first year in L.A. didn't make the playoffs. The year Dr. J got in the league, Kareem was swept by Bill Walton in the second round. Bill Walton and the Blazers when they won the championship. The next two years, Kareem went out in the first round, winning one game in each series. And he had, Magic wasn't there, but Norm Nixon was there, who was great. Jamal Wilkes was there, who was a Hall of Famer. They had another player who Adrian Dantley was there, who, you know, people forget he even played for the Lakers. He was great. They traded him, and the rest is history when he shined in Utah and in Detroit. But Kareem had some great players, and they were getting bounced in the first round. So was he the best? Was Dr. J the best? Was Bill Walton the best? It was up for debate. And, Rob, I think that's where we are right now.
I think that's fair. I just think that there's nobody that you could definitively say if you're not saying it's Giannis, and coming off of what just transpired, it's hard to make that case for him coming off what just happened.
Right. Right. So and everybody, the way it happened.
Right. And so everybody you look at, there's question marks. That's the problem. Or there's
do you think somebody could answer it? Like, I would say – I'm going to name a few guys that I think. Let's just say they ran to the title. They won the championship this year. They could lay claim to it. I think Jokic, for sure. I think maybe if Jokic even just gets to the finals, because his only the only reason you would say he's not really, I know he's not a great defender like Giannis and Embiid, but you would say he just hasn't had much playoff success. So that's his issue. And so I think if he were to get to the finals, certainly if he were to win it without a super team like Giannis did a few years ago, like he would have an argument. I think Embiid, Rob, and I don't think they're going to make this type of run, especially if he's banged up for real. But let's say he does. He got a great argument, right? MVP probably, great defender, outstanding shooter and free throw shooter, big, you know. And I think, Rob, Durant, obviously, that's not the one I was laughing at. But Durant, right now, Devin's been their best player. I mean, Durant's better, but Booker's been their guy so
far.
But, we'll see.
But if let me ask you this. If Durant leads them to the championship and wins the finals MVP, I'm just making a hypothetical.
Right, right.
You would have to consider that.
He had to be in it. There's no
–
a lot of people would say he was.
Okay,
I don't know if I would. I have to see how – but are you saying he's like the leading scorer? Well, yeah, you said like, wins finals
like
MVP.
Like he wins the finals MVP
and
they win the championship.
Because last series it would have been Booker MVP.
Right. No, you know, I get that.
So if it's him.
But nah, it would be like, well, Booker – was the man a couple years ago, and they lost four straight after being up 2-0.
Right. Well, they Booker Durant would not be the best player in the world, even if he would have won.
No. I get that, but I'm saying
Durant.
Durant would have to be the Finals MVP. I mean, that's without question. If Booker's the Finals MVP, then no, he wouldn't be in that conversation.
Right. But Durant, if he is the Finals MVP, Rob, I think a lot of people would say he's the best player in the world. I think it'd be somewhat arguable, but yeah, he probably would be being referred to, generally speaking, as the best player in the world. I'm going to throw this name out to you, Rob, though. What about Steph? If he leads them to a second straight title in years when people didn't think they would, Draymond's a little older in the tooth, longer in the tooth. Klay's not the defender he used to be. Still, obviously, is a great shooter. Like, I think it'd be the first time, right? I don't think there's ever been like a normal size point guard viewed as the best player in the world. And some would still say, well, he's not a great defender. Well, neither is Jokic. You know, Durant's a good defender, not an awesome defender. But I mean, you might have to put Steph in there.
Yeah, I think
if they win it.
Yeah, I think that there are some people who just are not going to buy into him. Despite all, Chris, I get.
If he's
the resume.
Finals MVP, like you said,
right? I mean, there will be some, and they will point to what you said. Like he's not doing it on the other end. He's not defending the better player, the best player on the other end. Those are things that people point
out.
Although
he's defending Fox a lot. I mean, nowadays you're switching all the time.
I know, but you know what I mean. But still,
he's not a great defender. I think the argument would be Jokic isn't a great defender. Giannis isn't a great shooter. Embiid, I mean, he's well-rounded. He's pretty well-rounded. Durant's well-rounded. You know, he's got some deficiencies. So they all got some flaws. But it would be an argument. And so, it's interesting, Rob. But I do think we're in that era. We're in a stretch where it's like maybe, you know, whoever wins it that year, if he's that caliber of player, can lay claim to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest
to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school, like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.